He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, Lord, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed, may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Montine McSally. She was my psychiatric nursing instructor when I was at HBU in my nursing program. And I knew when I took my psychiatric rotation from her, I knew that I wanted to be a psychiatric nurse. It was my last clinical rotation on my way to a BSN in nursing. And along the way, in each of those clinical rotations, there were parts about each one that I liked and parts that just didn't feel quite as good of a fit. And then there were some that were a clear no. Surgery, clear no. I didn't want to pass out on top of the patient on the table. Pediatrics, another big no. I couldn't bear to be the one inflicting pain on these wee little ones, even when I knew it was for their greater good. I'd had a burn victim as one of the children that I took care of in that rotation. Neurology, medicine, obstetrics, all of those, there were parts of them that I really showed some interest in. But psychiatric nursing, the way that Montine McSally taught it, I felt like I had found my place. I admired her directness. I admired her compassion, her ability to see through pathology to the person beneath, her understanding that we are all broken in some way. And mostly, I appreciated her care for me, not just as a student, but as a person. I felt a connection to her. I wanted to be like her in so many ways. And so I paid really close attention to her teaching. And I spent time outside of class with her whenever I could. And I asked questions and I looked for her approval. And I went into psychiatric nursing right out of nursing school. And I've had other role models and mentors for me throughout my life that captured my attention, that cared for me and invested in me, those that I really wanted to emulate in some way, that showed me that I was capable in some ways that maybe I hadn't thought about before, that believed in me and called out my best, that modeled for me what that best looked like for them. Ellen Beck, my volleyball and track coach in high school. I am sure I drove her crazy at times, but she loved us all, and she taught us to push ourselves and believe in ourselves and to win and to lose gracefully, and I wanted to play my best for her. Jerry Neff and Gail Ford Smith, two pastors that took a special interest in me early in my ministry and helped me to grow into the pastor that I am now. So just write them a note. If you're unhappy, let them know. It's their fault. They modeled for me what it meant to love Jesus, to love his people, the church, and what it meant to be a United Methodist pastor. I watched them. I listened, usually, to their counsel, and I was formed in part by them. Billy Abraham at Perkins School of Theology, my theology professor, he showed me what it meant to think theologically, how God cannot be put into a box of my own making, but must remain completely free to surprise me, and yet is consistent and trustworthy and, most of all, good. None of these role models or mentors really worried about saying only those things that they thought that I would want them to say, the things that I wanted to hear, but they spoke the truth as they knew it into my life. And some words were warm and fuzzy and made me feel good, and some words were challenging and disturbing, but true. But their words and their actions, all of them, helped form me. The verses just before the ones I read in chapter 6 today, beginning with verse 12, they have Jesus retreating for a night of prayer up on a mountain. And at daybreak, we're told, he called together all of his disciples, and from those called out 12 apostles. Our verse today, it began with him coming down from that same mountain with all of them, down, we're told, to a level place filled with all the disciples, so the 12 that he had just named as apostles, and all the rest that had been following him and learning from him, plus a multitude of other people from Judea and Jerusalem and Tyre and Sidon. And then we're told he looked at his disciples and began to teach. And so stop here and think and imagine with me. Jesus has accumulated a throng of people who have become his disciples. They've left fishing boats and families to follow him, to be mentored and taught and formed by him. They've seen him heal a person with leprosy, a paralyzed person, and a man with a withered hand. They've heard him criticized by the religious elite for not fasting as they do or observing the Sabbath in the same way that they do. And they've heard his challenges right back to those same religious elite. These followers, these disciples, they want to be with him. And they are already being captivated and changed and challenged by him. They saw him as he withdrew up to the mountain for a night of prayer, and then they watched as he selected the 12 that would become his innermost group, the ones that he called apostles. Disciples are followers of Jesus. Apostles are those who are going to be sent as messengers into the world. And all of his disciples that were there with him that day were then joined by a great multitude of other interested people, those who had come to see him, to hear him, to be healed, to be made whole. They had not yet become real disciples. They, at this point, were just interested people with a sense that this prophet could help them in some way. And they got what they wanted. The scripture says they were all healed. But it's to his disciples that he spoke the words of blessings and woes. You see, he knew that they were not simply the casually curious, but they were those who looked to him for formation as his followers. The words that he spoke were his disciples then and to his disciples today. Those who feel a connection with Jesus, those who want to be like him, those who pay close attention to his teaching, those who ask questions and look to him for approval, those who intend to go into the same business that he's in. That's me. That's many of you, I trust. And just like my role models and mentors who didn't worry about saying only those things that they thought I wanted to hear, but spoke the truth into my life, some of the words were warm and fuzzy and just what I wanted to hear, and some words were challenging and disturbing, but true. But their words and actions, all of them formed me, and so too Jesus' words to his would-be followers, to his disciples. They're challenging, they're disturbing, and they're true. And they're formational for those who would be his followers. Blessed are you who are poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate and exclude and revile and defame you because of Jesus. Rejoice and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven, because that's how devoted followers of God have always been treated. But woe to you who are rich. You've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now. You're going to be